I had enough wits left to get behind the table and answer the most uncomfortable questions with silly pleasantries. No, I really can't see. I'm glad you like it. Before, I was inundated with eager customers buying everything I had. Most of them weren't even haggling. It was the best sales day I'd ever had, and it all happened in a span of minutes. When they were done with me, most of the customers moved over to the other tables, as they had been doing since I'd begun drawing, I realized belatedly. No wonder the hawker had come to thank me. But I could hear the distant tolling of the Whitehall bells, marking sunset. The park would be closing soon. "I thought it might be you," said a voice nearby, and I jumped, turning to smile at what I thought was yet another customer. But the man who'd spoken did not come to the table. When I oriented on him, I realized he was just beyond the chalk drawing. "Pardon?" I asked. "You were at the other promenade," he said, and I tensed in alarm, though he did not sound threatening at all. "The day after you found that Godling's body. I saw you then. Thought there was something interesting about you." I began to pack up, less alarmed now. Perhaps this was some sort of awkward attempt on the man's part to chat me up. "Were you in the crowd?" I asked. "One of the heretics?"
"Heretics," the man chuckled.
I suppose the Order would think so, though I honor the Bright Lord too." One of the new lights, then. They were supposedly some other branch of Etempen, or maybe a newer sect. I could never keep them straight. Well, I'm a traditional Etempen myself. I said it to forestall any attempts on his part to convert me. "But if Rolla was your god, then I'm sorry for your loss." I almost heard his eyebrows rise. "An Etempen who does not condemn the worshippers of another god, or celebrate that god's death. Aren't you a bit heretical yourself?" I shrugged, putting the last of the small boxes into my carry sack. "Maybe so," I smiled. "Don't tell the order keepers." The man laughed and then, to my relief, turned away.
"Of course not. Until later, then."
He walked off, humming to himself, and that confirmed it. He was singing the new light's wordless song. I sat down for a moment to recoup before starting the trip back. My pockets were full of coins and my purse, too. Madding would be pleased. I'd have to take a few days off to replenish my stock before I could sell again. And maybe I'd take a few days beyond that, as a vacation. I'd never had a vacation before, but I could afford it now. Boots approached from the far end of the promenade. I was so tired and dazed that I thought nothing of it. There were many people milling around the south promenade now, though the other sellers were packing up as well. If I had listened more carefully, however, I would have recognized the boots. I did, too late, when their owner spoke.
"Very good, Ori Shoth," said a voice I dreaded hearing all day.
"Ramar and Dee. Oh, no.
Very good of you indeed to draw such a lovely beacon," he said, coming to stop just beyond the chalk drawing.
There were three other sets of footsteps approaching beyond him, all with those horribly familiar heavy boots. I rose to my feet, trembling.
"I'd expected you to be halfway to Nimara by now," he continued. "Imagine my surprise when I caught the scent of familiar magic. Not so very far away at all."
"I don't know anything," I stammered. I gripped my stick as if that would help me. "I have no idea who killed Lady Rolla, and I'm not a godling."
"My dear, I don't really care about that anymore," he said. And by the cold fury in his tone, I knew he'd found whatever Lil had left of his men. That meant I was lost, utterly lost. "I want your friend. That white-haired Morrow bastard. Where is he?"
For a moment, I was confused. Shiny's hair was white?
"He didn't do anything." "Oh, gods, that was a lie, and Ramaran was a scrivener. He would know. I mean, there was a godling, a woman named Lil. She..." "Enough of this," he snapped, and turned away. "Take her."
The boots came forward, closing in. I stumbled back, but there was nowhere to go. Would they beat me to death and avenge their comrades right here, or take me to the Whitehall for questioning first? I began to gasp in panic. My heart was pounding. What could I do?
and then many things happened at once. Why? I'd asked my father long ago. Why could I not show my paintings to others? They were just paint and pigment. Not everyone liked them. Some of the images were too disturbing for that, but they did no harm. They're magic, he told me. Over and over again, he told me. But I didn't listen enough. I didn't believe. There's no such thing as magic that does no harm.